Maybe I didn't turn it on. Oh, well, we're off to a good start. Well, this morning I'm going to be speaking on grass. Specifically, I'll be talking about sowing, growing, and reaping grass. So before you think you've come to farmlands, I am actually basing this on the Bible and centering around Galatians 6, 7 to 9. In Galatians, Paul brings up the idea of reaping what you sow, which is a pretty well-known principle in the Christian faith. And today I want to discuss these principles of sowing and reaping. But I also want to draw attention to a third equally important step, a step which in our haste we sometimes overlook, and that step is growing. So as I was preparing for this message, I was looking out the window of our house in the paddock that surrounds us, and I was inspired to take photos of grass. And you might think that's a little bit odd. Why am I taking photos of grass? It's not a particularly exciting thing to take photos of. But I actually think grass is a great example of sowing, growing, and reaping. So there's a few photos of some grass throughout the sermon, which I was inspired to take. So why is grass a good example of sowing, growing, and reaping? Because on a practical level, farmers take a lot of care in sowing the right grass and growing it intentionally to reap a good harvest. That's a very practical level. But more importantly, because grass is something that I normally overlook and something you take for granted, and that's very much like the principle of growing, for me anyway. So grass growing is not something I typically get excited about, and perhaps that's because I'm not a farmer, especially when we look at the cherry trees that have just blossomed. And they're quite spectacular and beautiful. Well, grass just seems a bit mundane by comparison. And this is where I felt God saying to me as I was looking out the window, look at the grass. It is not trying to impress. It does not seek to gain its own glory or applause or praise. It simply follows its God-given nature and grows. And that grass left me with the question, when I am aiming for a glorious harvest, whose glory am I seeking? Is it my glory or is it God's glory? Because while grass might look bland to me, surely there is perfect glory in following God's good calling for our lives, growing in God and the Spirit to lead to a harvest, not judged by our standards of glory, but judged by God's. So that is why I decided on grass, because it shows a great example of following God's calling, quietly growing in His Spirit to lead to a harvest, which in our worldly eyes may not seem very impressive, but fulfilling God's good calling for that grass. And we know there's nothing better than following God's good calling for our lives. Which brings me to what I'm going to talk to today, which is Galatians 6, where Paul describes the idea of sowing, growing, and reaping. And as we look at these points, keep in mind the grass, because it shows an example of growing, not for our own glory, but for God's. So let's get into it and read Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit and talk about these three principles. And the first principle is sowing. So Paul gives us two options for sowing. And that is we either sow to please our flesh or we sow to please the Spirit. But what does sowing to please our flesh or the Spirit mean? To answer this question, let's take a look at a similar verse which Paul writes in Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So what is sowing? Paul's defining this as what we set our minds on. what we set our minds on. So sowing to the flesh means that we're setting our minds on the desires of the flesh, what we want. We're following our own selfish desires, or we are at the center of our desires. And sowing to the Spirit means that we're setting our minds on what God wants. We're following what the Spirit desires, and the Spirit is at the center of our decisions. Something I find challenging from this is the fact that we are only given two options, either the flesh or the Spirit. There's no third neutral or nothing category. Everything we do, all aspects of our lives, fit into one of these two categories. And this poses a real challenge. A challenge that I am very much still working on. If there's no neutral setting of our minds, then everything I do is either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. There's always something at the center of our decisions, and it's either the Spirit or it's us. For example, some of you might know that I love playing sport, specifically hockey. But it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I actually realized that hockey is not one of those neutral categories. It's not something that just you go out and you play hockey. That's all you're doing, right? Even when I was playing sport, I was either sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit. I'm either playing sport for my own selfish desires, or I'm using sport as an opportunity to glorify God. And that's just one of my personal examples, and perhaps for you it might look something else entirely. Maybe what's your neutral category? And the challenge is that we make these choices all the time, choices for areas of our lives which feel like they should fit into this neutral category. But Paul is challenging us to consider all of our choices, all areas of our lives, and that we should be setting our minds, sowing to the Spirit, not the way of the flesh. So to sum it up, what is sowing? Sowing is where we are choosing to set our minds. It is choosing what is at the center of our lives. And now that we've sown the seed, the next step of the process is growing the seed. So I thought, what is growing? Dictionary is a pretty good place to get a definition for that. So the Webster Dictionary defines this as of, relating to, or being the period during which something, such as a plant, grows or matures. So there are two points to this definition. Firstly, growing is a period. It takes time. And secondly, that something specific happens during this period. It is not just an idle period of time. So to the first point, time. Paul also recognizes that growing takes time in our passage in Galatians 6. He writes that we will reap a harvest, but note the words, at a proper time. Paul's telling the Galatians that sowing's great and reaping's great, but there's a distinct period of time between sowing and reaping. And that period is what I've called growing. So growing is not an overnight endeavor, and as John aptly put it last week, good things take time. So now that we've established growing takes time, the next question is, what are we doing during this time? And what is growing? So I read this as a verb or a doing word. It's not an idle description. It's something that we have to do. And growing takes intentionality. It will not happen without intentional input. And much like sowing, growing is dependent on where we're setting our minds, what is at the center of our decisions. And I'd propose that growing is the act of continually setting and resetting our minds. Unfortunately, it is not as easy as set and forget, but very much an intentional and repetitive resetting. So if we combine these two, can I answer my initial question of what is growing? It is an intentional commitment to where we set our minds, or to put it differently, it is sticking to nurturing what we have sown. It is a time of preparation, development, and growing deep roots in our God. And this is also something that God has been challenging me on lately. I often yearn to jump straight to the harvest. Let's go straight to the good part. Skip that growing season and, yeah, just get straight to the good part. And that's amplified by a society which is constantly pushing that agenda. You've got sayings like YOLO, or which is you only live once, or FOMO, which is fear of missing out, or why wait? You know, we're living in a society which is constantly frantically doing and can overwhelm us with desires to just rush on to the next step as quickly as possible. And if we can't skip it, then at most it's just a necessary frustration. And this is a key point that God's been challenging me with, is whose timing am I trusting in? Is it mine or is it his? And it's so easy to forget that while unglamorous, growing is a crucial step of the harvest. It's not a season to be waited out. It's a season that's just as important as any other. To the world, this period of growing may not seem exciting. It's not a new seed that we sow, or it's not reaping a harvest. But it is so important, because without growing, there would be no harvest. And a poor season of growing leads to a poor harvest. And I've just recently read a book on the first 30 years of Jesus' life. So, yep, the first 30. Before he's revealed himself to the world, the 30 years of his life that he spent growing up, preparing for his public ministry. And of the 90 chapters of the gospel or something like that, only 4 of them actually talk about this 30 years. So it's very much a hidden growing period. And I think, in particular, the following paragraph summarizes a major theme from the book. So that's the quotes, considering the words which God speaks over Jesus when he's baptized and presented to the world for the first time, when he comes out of his growing period. And God says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So the author, Alicia Britt Cole, writes, "God spoke these words before Jesus had done anything for which we call him Savior." She's specifically talking about the words, "With him I am well pleased." God sounded his affirmation over Jesus' life before Jesus had preached one sermon, before Jesus had ever healed one body. They were spoken over his hidden years, which I'm sort of referring to as growing years. God declared his acceptance and pride over what Jesus had become through his anonymous season. In unseen places, over underestimated years, Jesus had been making unrecorded, unapplauded choices that prepared him for everything to come. And Father God, who values the unseen, seen and unseen alike, was very pleased. With him I am well pleased. It can be quite easy when we think about Jesus' life to think just about the miracles or the teachings or the crucifixion and the resurrection. And these are all vital and extremely important parts of Christianity. But I think we can also learn something quite important from the first 30 years of Jesus' life before all of this took place. The 30 years in which Jesus was growing up to become the man which we would all know, to enable his ministry to grow, with the intentional growing, he produced the best harvest ever. Which brings me to my final point. What does growth produce? A harvest. That's our horse harvesting the grass. So, in Galatians 6, Paul highlights 2 ideas about reaping. Firstly, a man reaps what he sows, and secondly, that we will reap a harvest. So, the first point, reaping in kind with what we sow. If a farmer is sowing grass, he expects grass, not thorns or weeds. Seems pretty obvious, but I think sometimes we sow something into our lives and we expect something else. But you know, we have to keep in mind, you reap in kind with what you sow. And if we cast our minds back to sowing, we had two options, which was to sow to the flesh or to sow to the spirit. So what do we harvest? We harvest in kind with one of those two that we sow to. And sowing to the spirit, in Galatians, Paul says that leads to eternal life. And he's also said in the chapter before that it leads to the fruit of the spirit, while the flesh leads to idolatry and destruction. So Paul has just unpacked what we will harvest at the end of the last chapter, like I just mentioned, and this will be fresh in the minds of the Galatians. So we jump to that. Oh. Galatians 5, chapter before, we've got, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we've got two options, the flesh or the spirit. And this is the fruit, the reward of setting our minds on sowing and growing. Paul's making it pretty clear which harvest we should be pursuing. As he puts it in Galatians 6, it is either a harvest of destruction or of eternal life. But I think the most important thing here is to keep in mind how we get this fruit. It's not the fruit of our own efforts. It's not the fruit of us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from the Spirit. It's not something that we earn. And the only way to get this fruit is if we are sowing to the Spirit and growing the Spirit in our lives. And what does that take? It takes time and intentionality in growing a deep relationship with the Spirit. So the second point of reaping, which I think is both exciting and terrifying, is that we will reap a harvest. So this is the idea of multiplication. Whatever we sow, we're going to get back, if we grow it, in magnification. For each sow that we sow, we get much more in return. For a handful of seed, you get a whole field of grass. And the thing that I would note here is Paul says that we will reap a harvest. This is not a might or a could or a probably. This is definite language. This is happening. So that's exciting. That's also a little bit terrifying. But if we're sowing the right things, how good is our God that he'll richly bless us to those who seek him? And therefore, how important is it that we are sowing and growing in the Spirit? So, to sum it all up, I'm going back to grass. And grass shows us a very humble way of what it means to sow, to grow, and reap. Grass is not trying to impress. It's not trying to grow for its own glory, but for God's. It does not seek to garner applause or praise, it simply follows its God-given nature and grows. But just because grass makes it look so easy doesn't mean that it is. All of these words are verbs and they require a lot of effort and doing from us. So that's the challenge. We need to be intentional about what we are sowing to the Spirit and not to our selfish desires. And we need to be intentional on growing the Spirit. And once grown, we also need to intentionally reap the harvest to further God's kingdom. And as Paul says in Romans, this all requires the setting of our minds. And either we're setting them on ourselves or we're setting them on Christ. Either we are at the center of our decisions or Christ is at the center of our decisions. There's no third neutral category. And I think this is quite a timely reminder as what Peter and John have talked about in the last series, which is in Christ. So, are we centering all parts of our lives in Christ? Are we sowing and growing and reaping the Spirit, including those neutral areas, because neutral does not exist? Which leaves me with the challenge that I face daily. Are we centering all parts of our lives in Christ and not around my own desires? Are we like grass, intentionally growing in God's calling for our lives? And that is actually all I have to say. So I thought I'd open it up to everyone else and see if there's any responses or thoughts or maybe Bible verses that's come to mind or anything. Yeah.
You'll get the consequences of your actions. It's a bit of a pill to swallow, I suppose.
Wind's getting magnified to become a whirlwind. Mm. Yeah.
Good subject for this long weekend where everyone's out planting the axe.
Yeah.
Veggies for coming seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in God's economy, they always grow. If you plant the seeds of the Spirit, so very appropriate.
I think it's also very important that once we planted them, that you know we are watering it or we're growing it in our lives. You know that there was a lot of analogies I could have put in the sermon, but I decided not to. But yeah.
It's twice a day, and it just reminds me that we need to intentionally, twice a day, three times a day, whatever, be in the Spirit with God. That is the relationship. It's the care that we do with the strawberry bucket twice a day with the water. But with God, it's actually in His Word, or singing His praises, or coming to church. Whatever it is, it's more than just doing it once a day or once a week. We actually need to be intentional. So I think it's really a very good point that you make. There's no neutral ground. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I think the more intentionally that we are actively trying to grow, like Jesus wouldn't have been spending that 30 years of his life just twiddling his thumbs waiting until he was old enough. He would have been very intentionally seeking God and seeking the Spirit and spending time, yet really developing. And I think that is so important.
There's also that verse in Ecclesiastes that says, Ecclesiastes 10:4, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap.
Mm.
And kind of like, we can't always wait for the perfect time. We have to follow the season, not just look at all the environmental factors. The you know, a storm is coming. We have to, you've got to not wait necessarily for the perfect time.
I'm a grower, and yeah, there's a lot of resources that go into the growth phase. It's probably the most important phase in producing a harvest. And you do have to be very intentional. And in our lives, that would be like, what resources are we putting to the Spirit? How much of our lives are
feel like you could keep that going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even once you're fully grown, you're still growing in a non-literal sense. Okay, if you want to, yeah, in your mind.
Digesting the word, like meditating on the word is like the thought of meditation is the same thought as involved with the cow eating the grass, and it goes through like different stomachs. And meditating is allowing the word to go through it, you know, really touch our life. Be like newborn babes, longing for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in every aspect of salvation.
Needs to be.
Grass needs water.
Yeah.
Here the analogy is milk. You know, the word of God is the milk that will allow us to grow in Christ.
So good. Hand it back to Brett.